to the political cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, and welcome to what promises to be a very intense, very busy show tonight. A fierce broadcast we have for you this evening. It's Saturday night, March 24th, very special day for me. Today is my daughter's second birthday, and we have been doing birthday partying all day long at the Edwards household. And then, of course, with she only being 2 years old, starts to tucker out around this time, so I figured I'd sneak on down to work and hammer out another great broadcast. And we're happy to be here, as always, on AM 1380 WLRM Radio, our flagship radio station, and also the AM/FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network around the country, and simulcasting online to our worldwide audience at thepoliticalcesspool.org. However you were tuned in, we're glad that you were here and we're back at home after a week on the road in Nashville, Tennessee last week at the phenomenal American Renaissance Conference. We spent, the vast majority of last week's program breaking down what we experienced and trying to paint a verbal picture for those of you who weren't there at the meeting. And a man that was also there with me now is here with me again this evening, Keith Alexander, in studio with me for his customary first hour of work. Keith, good to be back. Any parting thoughts on Amarin before we move on to unplowed ground this evening?
Well, first I want to tell everybody that was at that conference how much I enjoyed seeing them. Jimmy, Mary from Dublin, Courtney from Alabama, Gerald Martin, all of you people. There are just so many people that I met there. Craig Langley, renewed a acquaintance with him, and he's got big plans. Everybody has big plans, and it's wonderful to see people getting active, because this is what we need to do. Now, let me just say this about Amarin. Amarin does a very valuable job in collecting information about black-on-white crime, affirmative action, depredations, anti-white racism all over the place. And, of course, what they are deficient in is that they seem to have an unspoken taboo about mentioning anything about Jewish power and influence. Jewish power and influence, of course, is the yeast that makes the dough rise in liberalism. None of these radical egalitarian movements like the civil rights movement, radical feminism, criminal rights, environmentalism, homosexual rights, Hispanic rights, yada, 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 none of that would ever have gained any traction without Jewish intelligence, Jewish wealth, Jewish know-how and organizational skill. And that's just the truth. And see, the way that we talk about things like this is in this way. There's a reason when you go to court that you are required to give an oath that you will tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Because anything other than the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth can be a lie and can be misleading. When somebody tells you they're going to tell you the truth will set you free. Half-truths don't set you free. They keep you enslaved. And that's why we have to, keep our eye on the ball. We're on a treasure hunt, and somebody that doesn't tell you the whole truth is taking you on a snipe hunt. But you just, as long as you understand that, Amarin is a great organization, has top-quality writing, top-quality minds in there. But I just disagree with Jared that somehow Episcopalians are just as liberal and just as pernicious an influence in society as Jewish power and influence. Sorry, I'm not buying that one.
Well, Keith, of course, we're all entitled to our opinion here on the political cesspool, where free speech reigns. It would be hard for me to find fault with Jared Taylor. But you are free to have your own opinion here on the program, as we all are. And again, of course, as you would readily agree, we both had a very spiritual, if I may be so bold, perhaps a little overzealous in putting it that way. But a very good weekend last week, and a weekend in which we wouldn't have traded it for the world. And I know we talked about it at great length last week, so we're not going to hammer it out anymore. But the chat room at CFCC.org, the Political Cesspool Virtual Fan Party and online chat, already filling up very busy. And a lot of people, of course, there in the chat tonight were with us at the American Renaissance Conference last week. And so we wanted to begin tonight's program by giving a wink and a nod to them as we move forward tonight. And by the way, with that being said, if you do hear my voice this evening and you're not driving around in a car listening to us on the AM or FM dial, hey, listen, if you're online, there's only one place for you to be. If you're listening to us online tonight, you've got to be with us in the online chat hosted by our friends at the Council of Conservative Citizens, CFCC.org. That's where you go. You log into the chat. We'll be there. We're going to be taking a lot of questions and comments from the chat room tonight and hammering them out over the air. And, of course, ladies and gentlemen, tonight's featured topic is the Zimmerman-Trayvon Williams shooting. Trayvon Williams, obviously, for whatever reason, really for no reason, the biggest news story in America today. And you know, Keith, you and I were having lunch earlier in the week. We were talking about things that we should talk about on the show tonight, getting the agenda ready. And we said, you know, we need to talk about this Trayvon Martin story. When we talked about that, I was just going to tackle it as any other story. Little did I know, because I'm not a masochist, so I don't watch the news very much, and I don't read a lot of newspapers. I get all my news from the internet, from Liberty News Radio, and frankly, from our website. I had no idea, even as late as midweek, how big the story actually was. And then after researching a little bit in preparation for tonight's broadcast, I found out, listen, a couple of segments isn't going to do it. So tonight, ladies and gentlemen, during the second hour, the entire second hour is going to be focusing on the Trayvon Martin shooting. And with us will be Kyle Rogers. Now, Kyle Rogers is, of course, the webmaster of CFCC.org. He is also the administrator of our chat. But in addition to that, Kyle Rogers is a journalist. He is a contributor to a newspaper in South Carolina. And Kyle wrote a column this week about the media's mishandling of the Trayvon Martin shooting. And it was picked up by the Associated Press. So Kyle Rogers is the man of the hour. We're going to talk to him about the media's spin on this story and what an objective spin on this story should be in the second hour. You're not going to want to miss it. And if you want to sound off on the Trayvon Martin shooting, join us now at CFCC.org. Keith, we got a couple of minutes left. Tell them what we got left in store for them for the remaining of the first hour, which is, of course, your hour. What's coming up, Keith?
A lot of stuff. Well, we're going to talk about the Love Boat incident that happened in the Caribbean on a gay cruise ship that stopped in Dominica. That's one thing that you got to hear about. This is wonderful. This is American values coming right up against the rest of the world's values. Then we're going to talk about Trayvon. And you had another topic. Oh, we had, what was that topic?
Yeah, I'll tell them real quick because we got a couple of seconds and we're going to get Keith loaded for bear and he's going to start blasting away here after this commercial break. But got a video on our website tonight, thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Don't go away.
About welfare. Bill Mayer ran this, coincidentally enough. And it's an interview a reporter had with people in line at the welfare office. We're going to talk about that and much more when we come back. Stay tuned, everybody.
Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign Newspaper. It is time for you to read the most daring underground publication. Spreading the word through print, it seeks to enlighten a free people to be knowledgeable with current, important events and take action in their own communities to stop the New World Order agenda of one world government. This publication is so rogue and extremely daring that establishment sources and critics rarely give approval of its content. Featured articles by concerned citizens, prominent whistleblowers, and credible authors. The Sovereign Newspaper is a monthly 32-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about current events in the age of Obama. The Sovereign Newspaper, available now at newsstands everywhere.
America has lost her way, lost her morning, forgotten her direction. What once protected us from leftist theories and cloud-borne wish lists of egalitarian quacks and crackpots was that our principles and values were grounded on experience. What actually worked? As settlers built new political societies from scratch, from the ground up. America was based on personal responsibility, our right to manage our own affairs without the dictation of central planners or a distant bureaucracy. But we're losing that foundation. We're losing our liberty. At www.truthbasedlogic.com, we offer arguments for which the enemies of traditional America have no answers. Truthbasedlogic.com exists to help us better understand, defend, and restore the heritage we are losing.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, settling down into current issues and tonight's business. And believe me, there is a lot of it, more than we're ever going to have the time to get to. So we got to make haste. Keith, you brought a story to me. You called me this afternoon. Or late this morning, I guess it was, and you told me about a story you had pulled. Let's hammer that out and then move on as quickly as we can to get as much in with the time remaining that we have this hour. Keith.
Well, you know, if you want to find out just how far multiculturalism has gone in America and how unlike the rest of the world we are, this article that we're going to feature right now, which was on page A8 of the Friday, March 23rd commercial appeal in Memphis, you can't find a better example. The name of this is Sex During Cruise Stop Lands Men Charge Fine. It's from Russo Dominica. Two Southern California men pleaded guilty on Thursday to indecent exposure in Dominica after they were arrested during a stop on a gay cruise of the Caribbean. John Robert Hart, 41, and Dennis J. Mayer, 43, of Palm Springs, said they regretted their actions. Police said they were having sex in plain sight of people on land, prompting officers on board the ship to board the ship and arrest them on Wednesday. "We humbly apologize to the people of Dominica," both men said during the hearing. The two initially were arrested on suspicion of the local equivalent of a sodomy charge in the Eastern Caribbean island, which prohibits sex between two men. The men's attorney, Bernadette Lambert, said they were remorseful. They were struck by the beautiful mountains, by the clear and clean fresh air, and were having a few cocktails, and so threw caution to the wind, she said to the court. Chief Magistrate Eveline Baptiste ordered the men to pay nearly $900 in fines after calling them rogues and vagabonds. They made no comment after the hearing, and police drove the men to the airport after they were released. The two were aboard the Celebrity Summit cruise ship that had departed Puerto Rico on Saturday with about 2,000 passengers. The ship departed for St. Bart's late Wednesday, leaving the men behind. The cruise was organized by Atlantis Events, a Southern California company that specializes in gay travel. Dozens of islanders packed the courtroom in the capital of Rousseau to attend the 30-minute hearing. Dominica Tourism Minister Ian Douglas said that tourists should abide by local laws, regardless of their religious or sexual orientation, and that cruise ship officials should make passengers aware of these laws. Well, James, I guess that gives the old TV series from the late 60s and early 70s, Love American Style, a new twist, and also The Love Boat. We can have a lot of fun with this one, and we probably will this coming week on the blog, but give me your thoughts on it.
Well, I'll tell you, I got to give it to the indigenous population of Dominica. Well, I don't know if they're indigenous, but the current population of Dominica. For taking the right stand on this, I'll tell you, you know, that's one thing that can't be taken away from the African Caribbean community, if you will, and for most blacks here in America. They put their foot down on sodomy. They put their foot down on the perversion of homosexuality, and God bless them for it. And you were talking about this might be one way America can stem the tide of third world immigration by saying, listen, the American government, the American media, they love homosexuals. If you don't like homosexuals, you don't want to come to America. You know, we got to pass this down to the people in Dominica. But listen, as far as this case is concerned, I mean, you're talking about a homosexual cruise, and they're having, you know, public intercourse in front of people. You know, I wish that Dominica had been a little bit harder on them and thrown the book at them, but they took the right stand. And listen, it's you don't expect this to get any play here in the American media, because then you got two so-called oppressed minorities. You got blacks, you got homosexuals, and they don't like for them to be pitted against one another, but they are not natural allies.
Well, that was proven in the California's Proposition 8 during the Obama election in 2008. Of course, Obama's presence on the ticket brought out black voters in record numbers, but except for their partisanship for their own kind, the black race, black people are among the most conservative people in America, particularly on things like gender preference, for example, as it's called now, or homosexuality. They came out and they voted against Proposition 8, which was to legalize gay marriage, and they were against it 70% to 30%, and that's a higher percentage than any other racial or ethnic group in California. And this just absolutely chapped the liberals in California. You know, blue state America is insistent upon trying to thrust their values on red state America and also the rest of the world. But, for example, there was something I heard about recently. Tony Blair went to Liberia and was trying to press the Liberian government to legalize gay behavior and to recognize gay rights, and the female Prime Minister of Liberia set him down and told him how a cow eats cabbage. He said, you know, you can be as perverted as you want to up there in Britain and in Europe and in America, said, but we're not buying that, and you keep your opinions about these things to yourself, because quite frankly, we're not going to, yet there's nothing you can do that's going to make us change our stance on this. And you know, I'm glad to see people with the courage of their convictions. I just wish we had some politicians in America with that much moxie, James.
Well, certainly I do, too. But another story the likes of which you would only hear on the Political Cesspool radio program. Now, Keith, moving on. And again, folks, I want to remind you that the chat is hopping tonight. If you're not in the Political Cesspool's online chat and virtual fan party hosted by the Council of Conservative Citizens, you need to get in there. That's where all the action is. Who was it that used to say that? This is where the action is. What show was that, Keith?
That was Shindig, wasn't it? Or else there was a show called Where the Action Is, and I remember they used to feature Paul Revere and the Raiders all the time. I remember they'd be hopping around doing the pony in their with their little rat tails and their three-cornered hats and all of that stuff. Mark Lindsay was a big heartthrob. They were early bubblegum, kind of pre-bubblegum, bubblegum rock. And, you know, let me see. I think that was the Dave Clark Five that had the original song that was like the theme song for the thing. But see, I go back far enough to where I can remember TV shows like Love American Style and The Love Boat. But apparently the people in the Caribbean and in Dominica, even though they're supposed to be particularly laid back, are not particularly taken by the new Love American Style, which would have to be updated now to include gay sex in public while the people are going down the gangplank onto the sacred soil of Dominica. And, you know, it's hilarious. You know, the left, if you listen to the American media, you would think that this is the way that all of the world is. All of the world buys into liberalism. Well, liberalism is an anathema to most of the people of the world. And we are the ones that are out of step. They're not the ones out of step. They're the ones that are behaving in a way that's consistent with not only Christianity and the Bible, but every major monotheistic religion in the world and many pantheistic religions. I don't know of any religion that, you know, has more than, you know, a small number of adherents that embraces homosexuality in its sacred text. Of course, American churches now have nothing but good things to say about it, and that's because Christianity is no longer their religion. Their religion is liberalism, Jay.
Political correctness, that's right. Well, we're going to find truth in the welfare line when the political cesspool returns right after these words from our sponsors. Stay tuned. You're not going to want to miss this rant.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
For too long now, those whose ancestors carved from a vast wilderness an awe-inspiring extension of Western civilization have been without any semblance of political representation. Abandoned by the political establishment, we now face the prospect of losing our national identity, culture, and our way of life. But there is hope. There is still time to right these wrongs. And there is a vehicle to organize our people into a force capable of reclaiming America's destiny. The American Third Position is that vehicle. It's a political party for our people, led by extraordinary patriots like Bill Johnson, Kevin McDonald, and myself, James Edwards. Our ancestors, from the gates of Vienna to the sands of Iwo Jima, sacrificed their all in order to secure Providence's most precious gift, freedom. Now it's our turn. Learn more at the American Third Position website, American3P.org. That's American, the number 3, the letter P.org. This is the American Third Position, American3P.org.
Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. We gotta
get out of this place. Folks, was it George Washington? It could have been Abraham Lincoln. George Washington could not tell a lie. I cannot tell a lie. The chat room is busting at the seams right now. So many people in there. Be one of them. Ladies and gentlemen, come join us right now at cfcc.org, the political cesspool chat, taking place tonight during the live broadcast this evening for the next 2.5 hours. It'll still be going on. Join us now, cfcc.org, and, of course, for all the news and information about the Political Cesspool radio program. ThePoliticalCesspool.org is our official internet headquarters, ThePoliticalCesspool.org. Trayvon Martin, that story is about to take over the show, but first we're going to do a rapid fire segment with Keith this for the next few minutes to try to alleviate the log jam that we have here on the program tonight. So Keith, here's what we got. Bill Mayer posted a video clip of a woman interviewing people in the welfare line. Now, it just so happened. Now, you know, Bill Mayer obviously is no conservative, paleo or neo. He is definitely not a conservative. He's a good son of Israel. So he is a Marxist, a cultural Marxist. But nevertheless, somehow this video slipped through the cracks. Woman interviews a number of blacks in the welfare line. And we titled this post, which features the clip, Finding Truth in the Welfare Line. And this video truly is a must-see clip, and you can watch it for yourself at thepoliticalcesspool.org. But what we have here, again, is a female reporter interviewing black folks in line to get a free check at our expense, taxpayer expense, at a New York welfare office. Now, the able-bodied subjects here in the video don't hesitate to speak their minds when asked what they're doing there. And you can watch the video and you'll see them freely admit that they are there simply to get a check, female dog, and I'm improvising here for a family program. They have no shame in admitting that they are voting for Obama because he is black and that he gives them free stuff. One fellow says he hasn't worked in years and isn't interested in getting a job. He said maybe getting a date, but not a job. And another one said that he has 5 kids from 4 different mothers. He's here to pick up his free money and go home. Keith, this is absolutely infuriating, and because the federal government insists on giving these bums, these deadbeats, now again, they're out there waiting for the welfare office to open so they can get their free check. They're doing jumping jacks. They're doing push-ups. You can see this on the video. They're able-bodied. They're not handicapped in either way, in any way. They're not fired and can't find a job. They're just useless eaters. They will not work, and by the federal government giving them our money, the money that we work to earn, taxpayer money, that does more to foster racism than certainly anybody I've ever met. And as Keith is my witness, I've brought in my list of bills from home. Now, these people here live off of the working class and the government, which gets their money, of course, from the working class. They don't work. They get their money, and they're able to survive and eke out a life at our expense. Now, here is what I have to pay every month, a house note. Car notes, car insurance, cable, internet, utility bill, water bill, health insurance for my wife and daughter and myself. Do you know how much health insurance is today? Homeowners insurance. That's not even getting into groceries and gas and clothing. And, you know, you got to pay all that, and you got to pay it every month before you can even think about putting anything into savings. And oh, by the way, half of everything you make goes to taxes. Ladies and gentlemen, to see these deadbeats, these losers, these bums getting here and mocking the working class people, mocking them with their arrogance and their defiance to be contributing members of society. Keith, I tell you what, it makes my blood boil. And I'm not saying I got it bad. I don't want, woe is me, because, you know, I pay all these bills. I want to pay these bills. I'd rather starve to death than take money from Obama. But I'll tell you what, this stuff gets me really hot.
Well, what it does, it shows the truth of H.L. Mencken's quip about the New Deal under Franklin Delano Roosevelt in the 30s. He said it was dividing America into people that work for a living and people that vote for a living. Well, that's exactly what it is. John C. Calhoun talked about the division of the nation into taxpayers and tax consumers. And under Obama, we've seen an unprecedented rise in the tax consumers and the people who vote for a living. These people tell you that's why they're voting for Obama. Almost 50% of America pays no income tax. Furthermore, 13% of people who work don't even pay any payroll tax, Social Security tax. And over 50% of the American population gets a government check of some sort on a regular basis. They either work for the government, and of course black people, as we've said many times on this show, somewhere in the middle of the civil rights movement decided that they no longer wanted to perspire for a living. They wanted to, if they did have a job, to work for the government, because that was, as Winston Smith has often told us, indoor work, no heavy lifting. And basically, you don't have any pesky standards like productivity hanging over you that would cause you to get fired. You have civil service protection, so you can't be fired for cause, almost. You know, it's just virtually impossible to get a government employee out. They're embedded in there like a tick. And then we have people, both of these so-called black entrepreneurs that you're hearing about, like Marky Granberry, who has more money taxes and is in trouble with all sorts of states and the federal government. Basically, his whole enterprise is based on harvesting earned income credits for people who work and don't. No, they not only don't pay taxes, they get money paid to them by the IRS. This is obscene. This is absurd. You know, it quite frankly, the truth is stranger than fiction. A lot of people aren't aware of the earned income credit scam that is being run, but basically there are a lot of people that get a government check while most of us who work wind up having to pay an exorbitant amount to the federal government. And of course, as cities like Memphis become increasingly minority, increasingly black down here in the South, you're going to see more and more pressure to raise taxes. And of course, raising taxes runs out the productive part of the population. So what happens when you raise taxes to keep these welfare slugs in welfare payments? Well, basically, you turn a place like Memphis into Detroit. And that's going to happen to more and more of America as whites approach the white deadline, as Tim Wise has called it, 2042, when whites will no longer be a majority of the population in the United States of America. Now, this is, you know, welfare is one of the big drivers of black crime. Blacks have always been more criminally inclined than whites, but back in 1950, for example, a lot of the social pathologies that we associate with blacks didn't exist. For example, the black illegitimacy rate back then was 22%. The white illegitimacy rate was 1.5%. Now, the white rate is 25% due to the pernicious influences of liberalism, the sexual revolution, the drug culture, and the fact that nobody is supposed to say a discouraging word about anybody having an illegitimate child anymore. You know, that is totally marks you as a hater. Of course, there used to be a great deal of social opprobrium associated with having illegitimate children. Now, because of welfare, black people, and it's obvious from watching this tape, they look at that as their floor, and they have no qualms at all about committing welfare fraud to get their check. They just want a check. They don't think they have to qualify in any way. They don't think they have to be disabled. You have a whole passing parade on that video of what would have been called in the Middle Ages sturdy beggars. These are people that have nothing wrong with them except a bad attitude. And because of welfare, a lot of people that are on welfare will not get a job, because when they get a job, particularly if they're paid by check, that can be traced and they're disqualified. That's why they used to say when I was a kid, if you want to see the dark side of the moon in your maid or your yard man's personality, try paying them with a check. They want cash money. They've always wanted that. When they came out of the cotton field, they wanted to be paid in $1 bills just as they stepped out of the cotton field. You know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. And what happens because of that is, you know, if you need money, but it has to be in cash, what's the biggest all-cash economy of them all? It's crime. Your local pimp, drug dealer, or fence doesn't accept Visa, MasterCard, or personal checks. So consequently, you have a whole class of people that are committing all sorts of crime on the side, from petty to major, and they are basically they're drawing up what they're getting is they're getting a welfare money in addition that is acts as their floor, and all the money they make from crime is lanyard.
Got to take a break, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1200mm coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211, and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again, and, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. You know, the rapid fire and Keith didn't go together. I mean, let's just face it. Everybody's got a talent. Keith is a pontificator. And when he sinks his teeth into something, he chews it whole. And so but I tell you, we did a really good job on the welfare segment. We'll get into more stuff later on in the third hour. Art Frith gave us the definitive answer about where the action is. It was a weekday show created by Dick Clark. Paul Revere and the Raiders was the primary show band. However, the song "Where the Action Is" was written. It was written by Paul Revere, but performed by Freddie Boom Boom Cannon. That makes sense. And he had a top 40 hit with the song. So now,
depend on Art, you
know. Now we got the rest of the story. I should have known that. I knew that that was Freddie Boom Boom Cannon. I just couldn't recall the name right there. Art and I were talking about Frankie Valli earlier in the day and a couple of other. We were trading emails. You know, Art knows good music. He knows good music and he knows good politics. That's why he worked for us and that's why he listens to us. But anyway, I got another email in. Yes, the CFCC website has crashed. It's offline right now. Apparently, it's off completely. I guess we overwhelmed the chat, and this is the second time in about a month this has happened. Keep trying. I'm sure Kyle Rogers will get it back online at some point. He'll resuscitate it, but as of right now, the CFCC political cesspool chat is in limbo because it looks like too many people bum-rushed it and overwhelmed the server. I don't know, but the entire, not only is the chat room down, the entire website, cfcc.org, is down. But keep trying, keep trying. I'm going to keep trying myself. We'll get back in there eventually. I know Kyle won't let us down. Speaking of Kyle, as you know, ladies and gentlemen, he's going to be our featured guest tonight because his article in the South Carolina newspaper about the Trayvon Martin shooting got picked up by the Associated Press. So we're going to be spending the entire second hour tonight in detail covering the Zimmerman-Martin fiasco. Bill Rowland will be joining us later. But to set the stage for us right now, Keith Alexander is going to chime in for a few minutes. Keith, where do we start as we begin to let this story take over the program this evening? It's taken over every other broadcast entity over the last month. Why not ours?
Well, what Trayvon Martin shows is, one, how totally sold out to liberalism the media is, and two, how anti-white the media is, and it shows the truth of Paul Craig Roberts' observations. He got scared away from talking about race, but back around the year 2001-2002, he had a whole series of articles on what he called the new feudalism, and he said that whites were the new serfs. He said in feudal Europe, it was against the law for a nobleman to strike a serf, but it was a much more serious crime for a serf to strike a nobleman. Well, it's obviously much more serious for a white person to commit a crime against a black person than a black person to commit a crime against a white person. Perfect example of that is two stories that have come up this week. One is that Trayvon Martin story, where a black guy was shot and killed, supposedly while attacking a white guy who's like a security guard or a neighborhood watch guy, named Zimmerman. And of course, according to the media, Zimmerman, he's a white guy. But if you look at a picture of him, he's obviously got an awful lot of Hispanic in him. And furthermore, with a name like Zimmerman, he's liable to be Jewish. You know, that was Bob Dylan's real name, Bob Zimmerman, and he changed it to Bob Dylan in typical Murano fashion. So, again, white Gentiles are getting the blame for someone else's actions. And furthermore, I don't think that Mr. Zimmerman is getting a fair shake on this thing. I think that Trayvon, first of all, the news media is running pictures of Trayvon that are at least 5 years old. We had a poster named Jay that sent those to us. The pictures you see of this little fresh-faced kid were taken when he was probably about 12 or something like that and buying Skittles and was still an innocent child. If you look at his most recent Facebook pictures, you see him with sagging pants, showing his gold teeth off. Not just flashing gang signs. I looked at it. It looked like he's flashing the bird with both hands while his pants are pulled down and his underwear is showing. Looks like a fine, outstanding young man to me. Not, sorry. But, you know, according to this, Obama said that Trayvon would be his son if he had his son. And, you know, we're going to take him at his word on that. Trayvon looks like a hood rat and a gangbanger if I've ever seen one, based on those Facebook pictures. But, of course, those will never see the light of day anywhere except on the political cesspool and probably the Council of Conservative Citizens, because this is, you know, the news media is into disinformation. Now, on the other hand, there was a murder in Tulsa, Oklahoma, an elderly couple, 90-year-old man, 85-year-old wife, last name of Strait. The husband was Bob. The wife was Nancy. They've been married for over 60 years. He was a paratrooper with the 101st Airborne Division and parachuted into France on D-Day. His wife grew up in a country cabin in Kenwood, Oklahoma, without indoor plumbing. They married. They've got multiple children and multiple grandchildren and great-grandchildren. But like a lot of people on a fixed income, they were unable to move out of the house that they lived in since 1950, and the neighborhood had transitioned from white to black. These people were the salt of the earth. They would give you the shirt off their back. They gave food and money and help. He was the type of guy who had mechanical skills. If he saw somebody broken down the side of the road, he would stop and help fix their car. Well, some gangbanger that lived four doors down, who's 20 years old now, named, I think it's Tyrone Woodfork, broke into their house, raped the woman until she died, and then beat up and assaulted the man, and he's barely hanging on to life. And you don't, you know, the silence is deafening in the mainstream media about that. But on the other hand, and believe me, there will be no hate crime prosecution of Tyrone, but this fellow Zimmerman is liable to be prosecuted for a hate crime, just like the one that happened down in Jackson, Mississippi recently, where a white kid pled guilty to avoid being tried by a majority black jury in the Jackson, Mississippi area. And here's what happened to him. He was going through a black part of town when somebody threw a bottle filled with water at his car, a glass bottle that could have busted out his windshield. He stopped and got into a heated exchange with the person. And then a crowd started to gather, including the father of the miscreant that actually threw the bottle. He was fearing for his life, got in his pickup truck, gunned it to get out, and one of the black guys wouldn't get out of the way, got run over, and got killed. Now, you don't hear any of that on the mainstream media, and basically, this kid knows, it's just like South Africa, folks. When whites are no longer the majority in an area, you can't depend on impartial justice. And if you have a black U.S. attorney or a black attorney general, he's not going to prosecute a black on white crime as a hate crime. But if you, even in self-defense, wind up harming or killing a black person, you are going to be charged with a hate crime. It's heads I win, tails you lose. And, you know, no other group besides white Gentiles will put up with this. There's no other group in America that has been totally denatured and deracinated like white Gentiles have. And, you know, this is why it's basically like our immune system has been disabled. You see what happens when you have something like Trayvon Martin happening. The blacks take to the street. Al Sharpton is out in full dudgeon. So is Jesse Jackson. They seem to think they can politicize everything that happens in life, including criminal prosecutions.
We're getting close to the end of this hour. Of course, Keith, as always, offers a phenomenal job with his commentary. I want to give folks a quick update. The CFCC website and chat is back up, so let's get the party started again. Maybe not quite as many as before. We don't want that to happen again, but nevertheless, if you can hear me now and you were in the chat and now you're gone, the chat is back up, cfcc.org. We're going to be having Kyle Rogers on in just a moment to give us the rest of the story. Keith did a great job of setting the table. We're going to get dive into this issue in more detail at the top of the next hour. Also, I just want to say this about the whole Zimmerman and Martin thing. If Zimmerman killed him in cold blood, he should be brought to justice for that. If he killed him in self-defense, he should be exonerated. And I don't see how this is a national news story. I mean, people are unfortunately shot. It's tragic. It's tragic, but it happens. People are murdered every day. Why is this a national news story? Well, these are questions Kyle Rogers will be answering with us at the top of the next hour. And I see wife and daughter have come in now, Keith, here. It's birthday, and they're prowling around the studio. Is she awake?
Yeah, she's awake. And the other question, of course, James, is why isn't the straight story national news? There's a horrible double standard here. Anti-white racial discrimination is the type of racial discrimination that comprises almost all of the racial discrimination in America now. The racial discrimination, blacks are not only not discriminated against invidiously, they are a preferred class in the law. And the fact that hate crime laws, which are on their face racially neutral, are never brought against black perpetrators and always brought against white Gentile perpetrators shows you exactly the situation we're in. It may as well be South Africa or Zimbabwe.
Folks, come on and join us in the online chat and virtual fan party. It's back up and running. We had a full house there now. Let's get it back over this next commercial break. CFCC.org. Join the chat. We'll be back with more right after this second hour coming up in just a moment.
His leg unobserved to the other side of the room, all the way down to the A.